Welcome to iPod, a podcast series from Ophthalmology Times. I'm David Hutton, your host for today's episode. I'm joined today by Colin Carr, the founder and CEO of Carr. Carr's team of healthcare real estate agents span the coast to coast, and the company is a leading provider of commercial real estate services for healthcare professionals. Colin has been involved in commercial real estate since 2000 and has personally completed more than 1,000 transactions. He's here to share his expertise with us in part two of our discussion about commercial real estate and your practice. Colin, how can healthcare providers win against landlords in commercial real estate?
The best way to level the playing field or win in a commercial real estate negotiation is to make sure that you are adequately prepared for the negotiation. And to do that, you want to start with the proper timing. If you have a lease expiring in 2 years and you start negotiating with your current landlord and they know that no matter what you say, you're on the hook for the next 2 years and you have to make that payment, they're not going to give you some favorable deal and voluntarily cut your lease rate for no reason. Conversely, if your lease is expiring in 1 month and you haven't started the process yet, they're going to assume that you are out of time. You miss your window to relocate. And so they're going to hit you as hard as they can with the highest lease rate, the lowest concessions possible. So step number one is you got to time it properly. If you're too early, it shows you don't know what you're doing. If you're too late, it shows that you fell asleep at the wheel. You don't know what you're doing. So step one is you need to time it properly. Step two is you need to hire representation that can help level the playing field. You're working against typically a professional landlord who negotiates for a living. When you go into that transaction as a doctor or a healthcare provider or an office administrator, they're going to assume that you don't know what you're doing. No matter how clinically savvy you are, no matter how academically intelligent you are, it's not what you do on a daily basis. And so they're going to assume that you don't know the ins and the outs. They're not going to treat you the same way. Now, let me be clear about this one. I'm not saying they're going to be a jerk to you. They can still very well be respectful to you, treat you with dignity, but they're going to show you terms or assume that you don't know what you're doing. And they're going to be pushing you towards a deal that someone who's represented would not accept. And so timing it properly is important. Hiring representation is important. And then we cover this on the former version of our interview, which is they need to go to the market. They need to look at multiple properties. They need to negotiate multiple landlords or sellers, and they need to know all their options. If they don't, and they pick just one property, they're at the mercy of that one landlord, that one seller, and they're not going to see the best terms. If that landlord knows that you're out there looking at multiple properties and they're competing for your tenancy or your business, they're going to bring more favorable terms to the table, and that's going to help you win in the negotiation.
So what do these landlords know about negotiating that the healthcare providers really don't know?
Well, to start with, the landlord knows that it's going to cost them more money if the tenant moves out of a space or doesn't do the deal and it sits vacant than if the tenant actually has to move. And this is a really interesting dynamic. A lot of doctors will say, well, hey, I don't want to move, or it'll cost me money to move. True, but it'll cost the landlord more money if you vacate that space and they have to sit vacant for 6 months, 12 months, a year, and then give the next tenant a build-out allowance, free rent to build out, free rent once they move in, pay all the fees of the deal. The landlord knows it's actually going to hurt them more than it hurts the tenant if they have to relocate or find a different property. So when you as a tenant know that the landlord wants you to stay in the property more than you want to stay in the property, it changes the dynamics of the negotiation. The landlord also knows that if the doctor's not represented, they're probably not serious about getting the best terms possible. If the doctor's talking to the landlord directly, they probably don't have a savvy agent helping advise them to protect their interests. They're probably just winging it. And again, that's the wrong approach. It's kind of like this. If you went to court and you got a judge in front of you and the other side has their own counsel and you're just winging it, you're not going to have the same level of respect. They're going to assume that you obviously don't care or you're not taking it as seriously, because if you did, you would have someone on your side protecting you or helping in the process. Same thing, IRS says, hey, we're gonna audit you. If you don't get a tax advisor involved or a tax attorney, you probably don't care what the outcome is. You're just gonna wing it. It may or may not work for you. It's probably not gonna work out for you the way that you want to.
When it comes down to the lease, in advance of a sale or transaction, what should a healthcare provider know to be prepared?
So if you're going to sell your practice or you're going to transition out of your practice, you want to know if you own the real estate, what the real estate's worth and what a fair market lease would be if you decide to keep the real estate and lease it back to that practice. Or if you're going to sell the real estate with the practice, you need to know what that real estate's worth. A lot of healthcare providers will let a practice broker do that valuation. That practice broker may or may not know the value of real estate. So it's important to get a third party person who only does real estate to tell you what the real estate's worth if you're going to sell it or lease it. Conversely, if you are leasing the real estate yourself from a third party landlord, you need to know, do you have a good lease or a bad lease? If you go to sell your practice and you've got a bad lease, that's going to impact the value of your practice. If you have a phenomenal lease, that's going to also impact the value of your practice. And so what's very common is people time up when their lease is expiring or about to expire with when they want to sell their practice. And if there's the ability to renegotiate that lease and let's say reduce the lease rate by a few dollars per square foot or get the landlord to put money into the space to renovate it, that's going to make your practice more desirable from a sale perspective. And that might actually free up more cash flow to give you a higher level of earnings, to give you a higher multiplier when you sell the practice. And so if you have a lease that you could renegotiate it and you could renegotiate it before you sell the practice, you might be able to increase, you know, your earnings or your spread or your profitability and make your practice sales price higher by a significant amount of money. If you're selling on a multiplier of EBITDA or another valuation of profitability, if you increase your profitability per year by $20,000, $30,000, $40,000 because of a better lease, and then you renovated the space as well too, you might be able to sell that practice for an extra $100,000, $200,000, depending on how it's valued. So make sure you're not losing money because you don't understand your current lease value or your current property sale value.
How can a healthcare provider actually use real estate, commercial real estate, to make money for them, maybe increase their net worth by seven figures?
So if you are in a market that has options available for you to either purchase commercial real estate or for you to buy a piece of land and develop your own property, and you look at the fact that you're going to make a payment one way or the other, you're either going to lease for the next 20, 30 years, or maybe you have 10 years left, what have you, or you're going to purchase and you're going to make a mortgage payment. If every month you stroke a check or push a button online and you're either paying a landlord or paying a mortgage company, if every month you're paying down principal in an ownership scenario by $3,000 a month, $5,000 a month, $8,000 a month, whatever it is, and then you also have the benefits of things like appreciation, huge tax deductions like depreciation, et cetera, in an ownership scenario, it's very easy to pick up $30,000, $40,000 per year in tax deductions. It's very easy to pick up $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 per year in principal pay down and then pick up even more money in appreciation. And you start adding those costs up over a 10, 15 year, 20 year period of time. And it's very easy to get to $1 million, $2, $3 million of net benefit to yourself. Again, combination of increased value, principal pay down, tax deductions. And then you go to sell that practice and the property, you know, again, 10 years from now, 20 years from now, it's very common for that real estate to be worth well over $1 million. It's very common for you to pay it off over a 15, 20 year period of time. In commercial, residential, people, you know, pull the equity out constantly. You get a little equity, you pull it out. You're doing these 30 year, 35 year notes. Commercial real estate, you're doing 15, 20 year notes and you're not refinancing very often. So if after 20 years of owning a building, it's paid off free and clear, it's worth $1.5 million, $2 million, and you picked up, you know, $1 million in tax deductions, real estate is a very tangible and easy way to change your financial perspective by, again, by hundreds of thousands at the minimum, but typically you're changing it by $1 million, $2 million.
In the first part of our conversation, you talked a lot about representation. Some healthcare providers may think it's okay to go in with their lawyer. Is that a good idea?
It is a good idea to have a lawyer to review the legal documents. It is not a good idea to have a lawyer negotiate economic terms for you. It's the same thing we've been talking about. You know, if you have an attorney that specializes in reviewing contracts or reviewing legal documents, the landlord knows they don't know the market. They're not a market expert. They're not beating the streets every day talking to landlords, sellers, owners, listing brokers. And so they're just basically guessing. They're going to try to get on an online database, guess the values. And so when you have an attorney negotiating economic terms, there's a couple things working against you. Number one, as the doctor, healthcare provider, you're paying somebody $300, $400, $500 per hour to do what an agent or advisor would do for you for free. So number one, you're paying someone when you shouldn't be paying them. Number two, they're not an expert in that area, and the landlord knows that as well. So you're back to the idea of doing something without the expertise that you need. And then ultimately, again, are they going to spend a 30, 40, 50 hours of time to get the deal done the way it's supposed to be done? Not unless they charge you $30,000. So do you want to pay someone $30,000 in attorney's fees to do what an agent would do for you for free and then get you much better terms and results? The answer is no. You'd rather go with an advisor who will do it for you for free, who's going to help you capitalize on the deal. Now, you do need the attorney to review the legal contract, and you should never have a real estate broker offering to give you legal advice or offering to help you tweak language or draft language. Real estate agents should not practice law, and attorneys should not practice real estate. They're separate parties. You need both, and if they're both good, they'll only operate in their lane. If you ask me to be your attorney, I'm not going to be your attorney. If you ask a good attorney to be a real estate agent, they're going to say, that's not what I do. You need both, but not either or.
And then when it comes down to it, how do you choose the best commercial real estate agent?
The best way to choose is to do some research. You can talk to, you know, people in your community that you respect. If you've got a good CPA, ask them who they know that specializes in healthcare real estate on the tenant buyer side. Ask your equipment suppliers, ask your technology provider, ask your lender, ask people that you trust that you've been working with for a while. Who do they respect? Who do they think would be a good fit? And a lot of times you'll start hearing the same names. You'll start hearing, hey, this person or this company does a great job. And then you start there. You put out an inquiry, get them on the phone, get them in person. And then you just ask them questions like, you know, what's your experience working with, you know, working with healthcare providers? What's your experience working in this part of the market? Do you do more work on the tenant and buyer side for healthcare providers? Or do you do more work on the landlord and seller side for third party landlords and sellers? And you start getting a feel for who's got the right game plan, who you trust, and no different than anything else in life. You're going to know very quickly, I trust this person or I don't trust them. I believe this person has my interest in mind or I don't. I think they have the expertise or I don't believe they do. And so if you get out there and talk to a few people, you'll know very quickly, this is the person I want to work with or it's not. And if it's not, then go on to the next person. There's too much on the line for you to settle in this transaction, right? If you don't trust the person, find somebody else. Search online, do your research, do your due diligence, but don't lose $100,000, $200,000 because you weren't willing to take 30 minutes to research people and talk to them on the phone or meet them in person. Again, it's this idea, well, you know, I don't have time. And my response would be, so you don't have 30 minutes or 45 minutes or an hour and you're willing to lose $100,000 because of that. Like if I offered to pay you $100,000 for half an hour of your time, I think you'd find a way to make time for that $100,000 check. It's the same amount of money, believe it or not. You just have to do your due diligence.
And how much does it cost to hire this expert commercial real estate agent?
Well, that's the beauty. And that's what I've alluded to a little bit here in some of the previous answers. It doesn't cost a healthcare provider anything to hire a commercial real estate agent. And that's because commissions in commercial real estate are paid just like they are in residential. And that's by the landlord or the seller. So if you're gonna sell your house in residential, you'd hire a listing agent as your advisor, your agent, and you would have a commission agreement for that transaction. And it would be built for two people. It'd be built for your agent and it would be built for the buyer's agent. And if the buyer shows up without an agent, that listing agent gets a double commission. So this is not a for sale by owner scenario. This is where a lot of healthcare providers get confused. They think, well, if I don't hire an agent, I'm going to save money. And the reality is you're not the one paying the commission. So there's no money for you to save in this because you didn't determine the commission structure and you're not paying it. If you own the property and you wanted to sell it yourself or list yourself, sure, you could save one half of the commission. But in a scenario, if you're a doctor or a healthcare provider and you're a tenant or a buyer, that commission is being paid by the landlord or the seller. It's going to get paid either a double commission to the listing agent, or it'll be split between the listing agent and then your agent, your representative. So there's no money to be saved by not hiring an agent. So the question is, well, why wouldn't I hire someone? And the answer is because you're too busy to hire someone. You don't know how the game's played, or you just get frustrated and say, I'm just going to go ahead and sign whatever they put in front of me. Again, all those are bad game plans, but long story short, it's free to hire an agent as a tenant or buyer's agent. You should always have representation, and they're going to take a fee out of the owner's proceeds or the listing agent's portion, but it's not going to cost you as the doctor, healthcare provider, or anything.
Great. Thank you for joining us today. Do you have a website people can visit if they wanted to get more information about you?
I do. Yeah. The best way to get a hold of us is our website. It's car.us, and that's CARR.US. Upper right-hand corner of our website, you can click to find an agent. We have agents across the country. We operate in every state across the country. You can click to get a free lease or purchase evaluation. If you want to know how your lease compares to the current market, if you want to know what it would cost to own and what your options are in your immediate area, we'll do all those things up front for you as well, just to give you initial information to help you make a decision. And then ultimately, we also have hundreds of educational resources. We have a glossary, FAQ. We've got hundreds of videos. If you want to get educated on healthcare real estate, we have more information than you can ever possibly get through. But we will help get you educated so that you can make the best decision possible for your practice, for your future, and for your financials.
Awesome. Thank you so much for your time today, Colin. We really appreciate it.
Thanks, David. Appreciate it.